How fitting that the title of our sermon is God is Love. Good morning, everybody. It's so good to see so many visitors. If we're meeting for the first time or maybe second time, my name is Tony Peterson, and I have the incredible honor to serve as a minister here for the Forever Church family that meets at Frederick. Thank you for joining us. We have an audience joining on Zoom as well. Thank you for joining in what one of our elders has titled the Upper Zoom Room. We're glad you're here with us in spirit and in truth. I'd like to ask anybody that's visiting for the first time, or maybe you didn't get a chance when you visited the last time, we have a visitor card. If you could fill that out, it's in the pew in front of you, and you can put that in a box. It's labeled contribution. We could put visitor cards there. We also have prayer cards that are sitting in front of you. You could fill those out. If it's private, you can mark that as such and put that in the contribution box as well. If you're joining us for the first time on Zoom or have a prayer request, you can do that through our website, fcoc.org, or you can email it, office@fcoc.org. So, grateful, Palm Sunday. We are here gathering today as a family of believers, and I'm just so happy that all of you are with us. What a wonderful day to wrap up our series in 1 John. And fittingly, it's about God being love. As we've gone through this series, and if you're joining, and this is the first of five or six talks we've done in 1 John, if you're joining us for this last one, don't worry. You've missed tons, but I'm going to wrap it up for you and tie it together. It's going to be great. You're not going to miss out. Don't feel like you had to have seen all these things or heard all those in order to be here today. We're talking about God is love. Amen. And he is. And so, and he demonstrated that, you know, on Palm Sunday when Jesus, in humility and honor, walked to what he knew would be his death for our life. So if you're joining us, please flip to 1 John chapter 4 for our scripture reading, if you're following along. And we're going to read verses 7 to 19. And this will be our scripture for this morning. First John chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 7. Let's hear God's word together. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Amen. Will you pray with me, church? Father, we are so grateful that in your love, in everything that is who you are, that you chose to love us, each one of us. And you show that in multiple ways, Lord. You show that by sending your Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins so that we may have life and not have eternal punishment and experience death. Lord, we know that you love us because your Spirit is working in us to bring glory to you in this world. And Lord, we know that you love us because you say in your word that in this world, we are like Jesus. Lord, I pray that as we meditate on you being love, that we would be filled up with your Spirit, that your word would take a root in our heart, in our minds, and bear fruit in our lives, in the way we live, in our behaviors, in our transformation out in the world. Lord, help us to be more like your Son, Jesus. Help us to become more like you in your love. It's in Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. Thank you, Sanford. So, I was sitting and listening during our sharing time, during our edification time, and I was just taking in what everybody's saying. And just as a side note, edification is my favorite time of the service. If you want to submit a guess as to what my second is and turn it into Cliff for a prize, feel free to do that. I don't know what the prize is going to be yet. But edification is my favorite time, and I'll tell you why. It's because as everyone's sharing, and Joe mentioned this, you know, eyewitness testimony is a historical way that we can be sure of what we have in the Bible. But what we're doing during edification time often is sharing how God's working in our lives, how he's answering prayers, how he's getting us through struggles, our reason to praise him. And as I'm hearing those things, that's my testimony that I hear from all of you, that our God is still very much alive and working in the world today. And not just in whole, personally taking an interest in each one of our stories. And I love to hear it. It's one of my absolute favorite things. So that's my side thing. I think that that's a proof of God's love working in us, isn't it? Because we have that faith. We have that assurance. And everybody's sharing things that we're going through, but we're assured in our faith because we're assured of God's love. We know that everything he's going to do, everything he won't do, the way he answers prayers, the way he says, maybe not right now, maybe no, it's all done out of his love. Amen. So as we're wrapping up this series in 1 John on this beautiful Palm Sunday, I just want to give a little bit of a recap as to where we find ourselves today. And today is really the buildup. Okay, this is what John is trying to get through to his readers who are believers, that God is love. The context of what's going on when John wrote 1 John is that he's writing, first and foremost, to believers in his church. And the reason he's writing to them is because some false teaching has arisen. And some people have then seceded. They've left the church of this group of believers that John's writing to, and gone on to dwell in their false teaching, and it's causing major problems. So John is writing to believers to try to, first and foremost, assure them of their faith. He's trying to assure them in who God is. That's why we titled the series, God Is. And each week we've looked at different scriptures of who he is, that he's the light, right? God is first and foremost light. John says he's the light with which we've seen and we've touched and we've heard. We've got that eyewitness account. We've touched and felt Jesus Christ. We can be assured in our faith, and we can be assured that God is light. We talked about God being worthy. Worthy of what? Worthy of our obedience, right? Not to go off in this false teaching and this false way of living, but how did he tell us to live? What did he command us to do? So he's writing to assure us of who God is, to obey his commands. And first and foremost, that command specifically deals with his love. If God is worthy and God is light, the buildup of this is that God is love. And if God is love, then what should we be doing? We should be loving. So as we get into this topic, and John has over and over again talked about these different topics, he kind of circles back. And I know last week we talked about specifically how to love each other. And we talked about practical ways of how we can do that. Because loving each other is easy, right? Absolutely not. Right? But we've got to fight our carnal desires and try to be obedient to what Jesus Christ did, because he first loved us, therefore we love. Amen. So as we get into this topic, God is love. This is the pinnacle topic that John wants his readers to know. Would you just pray with me, please? Father, we're so grateful of who you are, Lord, that you've worked in the past, that you work right now in our lives, Lord. We've heard testimony of that during our sharing time. And Lord, we can trust in your love and your faith that all things work together for good. So we can trust in our future with you, because you are love. Help us to hear your words today, that they would take a root in our heart, bear fruit in our lives, that we would walk out of here different than the way we walked in. Lord, we want to be more like your son. Help us to do that. Speak through me. Help me. Help keep me rooted in your words that you've prepared by your spirit. Allow us to receive your word with humility and grace. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. So we have been sold a lie about love. By and large, in our culture, we have subscribed to a lie about love. And here's the first lie that we've been sold about love, that love is just a feeling that we can't control. You know, we have this phrase, follow your heart. Okay, and this is prevalent in our world. It's been prevalent in our world for a very long time. When it comes to love, how are we to love? Well, just follow your heart, right? That makes the most sense. If it's just an emotion that we feel, it would make sense that when that emotion comes, that we listen to it. But this is dangerous. When we buy into the lie that our love is just an emotion and we're following our hearts, it really sells short what true love is. The second lie that we've bought about love is that we cannot control who we fall in love with, right? We say love is blind. Okay, so if we follow our hearts, we're saying that love is just an emotion. If we say we can't control who we fall in love with because love is blind, now we're taking choice and will completely out of the situation. We have no willful, conscious choice of our love because, well, we just need to follow our hearts, right? And well, we can't just control who we fall in love with. The heart wants what the heart wants. And then we fall into another lie that, hey, there's plenty of fish in the sea, right? So when we follow our hearts and our hearts lead us in the wrong spot, and we go, uh-oh, you're not what I thought you were, we can say, hey, there's plenty of fish in the sea. So now our actions, or maybe our reactions, are challenged by this lie that we bought into about love. So the way that the world is bought into love, they explain it something like this. Love, as defined by the world, leads with emotion. It leads with emotion. That's first and foremost how we define love in the world. It's an emotion that we feel. We follow our hearts. We can't control it. And when we do make a wrong decision because our heart led us there, well, we've got plenty of fish in the sea to fall back on. But we've got this emotion, and that's how love is driven. And so the world leads with love, with emotion, and that is followed by actions, right? It's emotions first, which lead to our actions, which leads to our choices being in third place. Emotions, actions, choices. That's the lie that the world has sold us about love, that we just follow our hearts. Then we come to this place of action where we act upon that, trusting that our hearts are good, right? And our hearts would never lead us astray. And then we get to this action, what we're doing. And then the choice comes later. Maybe we could call that choice regret if it's the wrong thing, where we second guess. That's the lie that we've been sold. That's the way love works in the world, right? It's an emotion, and it ultimately leads to, this is why we have so many breakups and divorces and broken families, because somebody felt an emotion. Okay, they said, well, love at first sight. I can't control this. I'm going to follow my heart. This is where I'm supposed to be. You find out later, well, I made a bad decision and I acted on this already. And so we have breakups and broken families and divorces, all in the name of love, all in the name of following our hearts, all in the name of following emotion. And that's the way love is subscribed to in the world. But biblical love isn't like that at all. Biblical love is quite the opposite. It starts with a choice. It starts with a willful choice. And it's not led by emotion and not void of emotion, but it's accompanied by emotion. And that love, that choice that's accompanied by emotion, leads to action. Love is first a choice accompanied by emotions and feelings that produces a motivation to certain actions. That's what biblical love looks like. Now, if this is what biblical love looks like, and it starts with the will, it starts with a choice, there's got to be a standard outside of us. Because our will, our choices, our hearts, Jeremiah says this, is wicked above all else. So we need a source of love. And God is that source. Love starts with God. Follow me in our passage here in verse 7 of chapter 4 of 1 John. John writes this, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." Again, in verse 16, the three words are repeated, that God is love. Not God feels love. Not God is led by an emotion that falls short of choice. God is love. His essence, his being, who he is defined first and foremost by his love. John writes all through the Gospel of John about God's love. It's who he is. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him should not perish and have eternal life." In John 13, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the very end." Again, in John 13, one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was reclining at the table with him. "By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another, my love to pour out to others. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." John 14, Jesus answered, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. We will reside in him." In John 15, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now abide in my love." Again in John 15, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." God is love. First and foremost, that's who he is. That's what he's about. That's the business of God. God is the source of all true love. It is his willful choice. It is who he is. It is his essence that makes up the standard by which we understand love. Okay, so if God is the source of love, if he's the source of all true love, if love begins with God and it's outside of us, how does God express his love? Well, look with me at verse 9. He couldn't get much clearer than this. This is how John writes it. "This is how God showed his love among us." This is how he expressed it. "He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin." So if the world loves leading by an emotion, leading by a feeling, right? Which often turns into actions. And those actions often end up getting second-guessed or regretted later on. And God's love, biblical love, starts with a willful choice and is accompanied by actions, which manifest into motivation for what he does for us, how he expresses his love. Then Jesus Christ is the ultimate expression. He says, "This is how he showed his love, that he sent his son." God made a willful choice on how to redeem his creation. It's a willful choice. It wasn't just an emotion that caused an action, but it's not void of emotion. We read that God is jealous for our souls, right? We read that God burns in anger over sin. Even Jesus in the garden, making a willful decision to go to the joy set before him in the cross, was overcome by emotion, so much so that he's praying in the garden and sweat, blood-filled sweat is dripping off of his face. That's agony. Love starts with a choice and is accompanied by emotion and then produces an action. That's what love is. And that's how God expresses love. God also expresses love not only in the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ, but as a whole, as three persons in one, Father, Son, and Spirit. Read with me in verse 13. John writes this. "This is how we know that we believe in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit." That's one person in the Trinity. "And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world." That's how he expressed his love. The Father loved us, sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And we know and rely on the love that God has for us. Why? Because he lives in us. Why? Because we see God working Father, Son, and Spirit in a fullness of his love. God so loved us that he sent his Son. Jesus so loved us that he gave us his Spirit to teach us and comfort us and teach us how to live in holy living to make us more like his Son. God, that's an impressive love. That's a true love. God ultimately expresses himself by giving his Son that we might have life through him. God's the source. God's expressing his love through his Son, through his Spirit, through the Father loving us. And not only has God the source and how he expresses it, but there's a work that love's doing in us. There's a job that love has to do. Read verse 12 with me. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. And then go down to verse 17. John's going to repeat this topic of completion of love. He says, this is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. Now, these two times aren't the only two times where John in this epistle talks about this completing work that God's love is doing in us. If you flip a couple pages over to chapter 2, in verse 5, John tells us this. He says, but if anyone obeys my word, love for God or God's love is truly in that person, is truly making that person complete. So there's three ways that John's writing about this completion of God's love. It's this mission that God's love is on to complete us. In chapter 2, he's saying love is complete when we're obedient to his word. That's part of the work that God's love is doing in us. And in our chapter here in verse 12, it says God's love is complete in us when we love one another. And in verse 17, God's love is complete in us when we can face the day of judgment without fear. There's this work. God expresses his love in his Son. He's the source of all love. He's the standard upon which love is founded. But his love is also doing a work in us. And I think it's this. He says it right here at the end of verse 17. This is the ultimate work that his love is working in us. That in this world, we are like Jesus. Well, how are we like Jesus? Well, look at the three ways he's talked about love working its completion in us. Love is made complete when we're obedient to his word. Was Jesus not obedient to every single thing that the Father asked him to do? There's a work of obedience that God's love is trying to complete within you and I to make us more like his Son in this world. Secondly, God's love is complete in us when we love one another. Well, Jesus said it. There's no greater love than what? To lay down your life for another. Check that one off the Jesus box, because we're just like him when we love other people. Right? It's a work of completion. And then he says, love's God is completing us when we can face the day of judgment without fear. This is what we find in verse 17 and 18. I want to read in 18. He says this, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Now that verse probably sounds pretty familiar to you. I heard that one often when we're going through struggles. You know, I know when the pandemic hit, a lot of us went to this scripture. Well, I don't want to have fear because I know that God's love is working in me. Now, I think part of that is true and spot on. But here specifically, I think what John's saying is there's a work of love that's being completed within us to make us like Jesus. Make us like Jesus. How? Because when we're on the day of judgment, we won't have fear if we're like Jesus. There's no fear in that. As we approach our day and the day gets closer where we're going to stand before God, how can we have confidence? We can have confidence because God's love is working in us to make us like his son. So that way, when we stand before God, God doesn't see Tony and all of his sin and muck. He sees Jesus. And for you guys, when you stand before God, where his love is made complete in you, because you are like Jesus on the day of judgment. Therefore, you're not going to have a fear of death. That's God's love working in and through us. God's love is working ultimately to make us more like his son. And that happens in this world. That happens in this world. So that way, when things come up and we're talking and we're sharing these things of how we're suffering, I've got this surgery coming up, and I've got this diagnosis, you don't have to have fear in that, because God's love is working to complete you. To complete you to do what? To make you like his son. That's what he's ultimately doing. That's how much God loves you and I. That he doesn't look at our sin. He doesn't look at our past and go, oh, you know what you were before you stood up there at the Federal Church of Christ. You know how you used to live. You don't deserve to even have anything in this world, or let alone outside of this world. But guess what? That's canceled out right here at the cross. Because when God sees me and you, this is what he sees. That's the completing work that Jesus did on Palm Sunday. He was walking into Jerusalem knowing what was ahead of him. That he was working to complete a job, a mission of love. A mission of love for you and for me. So that when we walk confidently in this world, approaching even more the day that will come where we stand before God, we can have a confidence, not in what you do, not in what you've done, not in what you will do, not in my own actions, but in the completing work that Jesus Christ is working in you and I. Amen. Would you stand with me as we close, please? Father, we so thank you, Lord, that you are first and foremost love. Father, we thank you that you are working a work, that your love is on a mission in us. Father, that when you see us here and now and on the day of judgment, Father, that you don't see all of our stain, Lord, and all of our sin, but we're washed white as snow. That when you see us, it's the great exchange, Father. Jesus takes our sin and we take his righteousness. So that when you see us, you see a completed work of your love in us. We thank you for that, Father. Help that truth to take root in our hearts, that when we walk out of here, we're not motivated to love just because of how we feel. But we understand that, Lord, love will have feelings. It will have emotions. But, Lord, love is a choice. Love is a choice, Father. And I pray that that choice, that we can choose to do that because you have first loved us. And Father, based off that choice, I pray, Lord, that when we walk out of here, it's accompanied by actions, that we obey your command to love one another. Because that, Lord, is how your love is completed in this world today. Thank you, Father, for your love. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen.